Welcome to KBOO, Emily Goldenfields, Olivia Pace, and Sahar Yarjani Maranovic. It's good to have you here, and congratulations on passage of the Preschool for All ballot measure that was before voters on this election day, a victory that's generated national interest as well as local pride. The campaign was itself a remarkable achievement in gathering enough signatures during a pandemic to get onto the ballot in time, and working as a coalition that merged two separate proposed measures, one by Portland DSA and the other by Multnomah County. What were some of the challenges that had to be worked through on the coalition?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it. I initially was a chief petitioner with Universal Preschool and then joining the Preschool for All campaign. So one of the main challenges was that we were on different timeframes and timelines in doing this. The Universal Preschool Now Coalition was through a grassroots initiative that would require a certain number of signatures in order to get on the ballot, while the Preschool for All Coalition was going through our county commissioner, Jessica Vega Peterson. And so we were looking at different ways of going through this and the timeframes. So the county task force had a different timeline of getting the languaging in place and doing some polling as well, while we were doing signature gathering. So it wasn't so much that we were ideologically opposed in major areas, but it was more the case of working different timelines. And also, you know, the county would be more risk averse in the way we would go about this kind of work, just given how impactful and important this measure is. And so as we started really getting closer to time for ballots to come out, we realized that it was really important that we come together and make sure that there's one strong measure going to the voters.
Emily, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that that's really it, kind of coming from two different places, one being a real grassroots bold vision, thinking really big about what society can be, how we can treat our kids and treat our workers, and kind of the first step in reorienting our society around people and communities. And what Sahar was saying about the county coming to it in a more measured, risk-averse ways, worrying about people being nervous about taxation. But what it really showed is that people have an appetite for big, bold projects, big, bold campaigns that are really transformative and change society.
Olivia, can you speak to how this grew out of a Tax the Rich campaign and addressing issues of taxation, how it became important to make this universal rather than merit-based or a sliding scale program?
Yeah, I think it's just interesting to discuss the issue of universality when it comes to this. I know from the perspective of the county, initially, the focus was not so much on universality, but on getting this out to people in a very needs-based way. But when you factor in the need to not just bring up the conditions and the education that children are receiving, that families are receiving, but also the needs of workers, you'll see that childcare is a field that is ridden with really intense class stratification within those who are receiving the care and those who are working in the field. Across the board, no matter what kind of environment you're teaching in, no matter what kind of school you're looking at, childcare workers are paid poverty wages across the board. Preschool teachers are paid poverty wages across the board. So that's just one aspect of why universality was so important. I know that UP Now came at this from not just a perspective of the single reform, but from a movement-based perspective that factors in how this effort is not just about bettering education, but about transforming society. And one of the things that we see as being the biggest perpetuator of all of the violence and lack that so many people experience is this intense wealth disparity in our country. It grew out of that understanding in terms of taxing the rich.
How does the measure and the movement around this measure address Black, Indigenous, and other communities of color, both as workers in the childcare field, also in terms of access to childcare?
if we look really far back, this work is already so gendered and so racialized in terms of it being a field that is predominantly filled with people who are women and gender nonconforming, the workers, and also, and within that section, predominantly women of color who do the whole gamut of childcare work and care work and reproductive labor. There's a history there that's rooted in slavery, that's rooted in this kind of siphoning off of Black women throughout history as being made to uphold the status of white people, white wealth, of the white family as an economic institution. That dynamic is still seen clearly today, where we have a workforce that is largely women of color working in a field and in environments that are mostly accessible to middle and upper class white families, white people. The cost of childcare for many people in many states is the same or more expensive than sending your child off to college. So we see that intense class disparity that's rooted in racism and that's rooted in misogyny and patriarchy. For this measure addresses that twofold and in probably ways that we haven't even seen play out yet, but it addresses it in raising up child care workers' wages to a living wage and to parity with who we think of as like regular teachers, parity with kindergarten teachers, who we see as a little more deserving in our society, though it shouldn't be that way. Also, in granting more access to Black, Indigenous, people of color families across the county, so that we're making more accessible and diversifying the people who are receiving these services, and bringing up the conditions, bringing up the pay of people working in this field, you're attacking that historical dynamic of BIPOC workers, BIPOC people serving in institutions that are meant to uphold white families and white people and white wealth.
And much of the dependency of the larger society and dominant classes on care work have been very much laid bare during the pandemic. And
yeah.
So it's encouraging to see this ballot measure passing with pretty resounding support and high levels of support. Zahir, can you speak to the next steps, maybe beginning with the rollout of the program itself? It expected to start in 2022, 10 years to reach full capacity. Is there some risk of discouraging or failing in fulfilling some of its promise? How do you keep the support and the integrity of the measure itself in place with this kind of rollout?
Absolutely. I think there's two parts to that. One is that we really wanted to make sure that this measure is being funded with one vote. You know, the type of leadership that we have now, the funding mechanism that we are going for, we're going to be having this in place, and we're not going to be requiring a second vote in the future in order to make that happen. Another part of this is that we have built an extremely strong coalition. We have labor, we have folks in the health industry, education, elected officials, everyone across the board, over 200 coalition organizations and members that were working hard on this in order to make sure that there is a lot of buy-in, to make sure that this is rolled out in the way that we envision and imagine. Also part of that, the Power and Accountability Council, the PAC, is also a huge part of it, to make sure that it remains community-centered, it remains true to the values that we had put up. And also as part of that Parent Accountability Council and the Up Now Coalition, we have other counties that are also extremely interested in this, looking at expansion. And so we want to make sure that this extremely important and powerful measure that we have not seen like it before is rolled out in a way that we can continue to expand and take it to other places.
Emily, maybe you can explain how parents or families, caregivers will be able to begin to access the program.
Sahar might know better the kind of details of the rollout. One of the things that we came together in as the two different campaigns was what type of rollout it would be, whether it would be regional, kind of coming from East County over to West County, or whether it would be kind of mixed model of regional mixed with need-based. So what we landed on, correct me if I'm wrong, Sahar, was more of a need-based rollout. So it'll
yes.
start in communities that have the highest need based on really economics. That's where it would start in 2022. It's a really a mixed delivery model. If you want to go to a preschool that's in Mandarin in your neighbor's house, you can go there. If you want to go to a community center preschool, you can go there. So that will be the rollout. Sahar, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in concluding, how can listeners get involved in this ongoing campaign that really is part of a larger movement to build a more caring society and shift the priorities of resources and move toward greater equity, as well as recognizing the importance of reproductive labor and issues of racial and class equality?
I can just say, and maybe Sahar can plug what's happening with the Universal Preschool Coalition, but as far as the Democratic Socialists of America in Portland chapter, this was really kind of started out of some of our Tax the Rich campaigns about looking at budget issues. And we will be having ongoing meetings about what to focus on next, what to redistribute next, what are the most vital programs that our members are most excited about. So really looking at DSA on social media, coming to some of our meetings.
Yeah, and Portland DSA was a great partner in really building the grassroots aspect of this. And I'm sure we're going to continue seeing more of that happening with other issues. As for the Universal Preschool Now Coalition, we are still out there along with the Parent Accountability Council, you know, looking at, again, more of expansions, but also at seeing how we can continue addressing the gap in care for our young kiddos as well as our elders. And so you can keep following us on Twitter, on our website, UpNow 2020, as we continue these conversations and work to keep this kind of momentum going for other important arenas.
Yeah, inspired by the Universal Preschool Now campaign has kind of been a burgeoning movement for collective power amongst child care workers. So if you're a child care worker in the city, you can follow PDX Child Care Labor Alliance on Instagram and figure out how to get more involved in those efforts as well.
Thank you so much. Once again, I want to congratulate you all on the work of this campaign, and we'll continue to follow this movement for building more equity and racial justice and gender justice around care work. Thank you, Emily Goldenfields, Olivia Pace, and Sahar Yarjani Maranovic for being with us today on the Omul Variety Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.